the messages, you know, about what do you want for Christmas and this kind of stuff. And Leslie was sharing about how in his family WhatsApp group, one of his kids left the group. And, you know, when you leave the group, it actually says so-and-so has left the group. And there was a WhatsApp group that was formed for the church, I think is the parents of, I think it was 0 to 11, they were organizing various things, rating the skits and stuff. And Mike Ollie was part of that group. But when the group started talking about tinsel, I think it was like there were 14 messages on tinsel. Mike decided to leave the group. So it says, Mike Ollie has left the group. And it reminded me of this thing I'd seen of this group that had been formed for a barbecue. Johnny created the group Barbecue. Barbecue tomorrow at my place. Dave, nice. Can't wait for a fat steak and a pair of ribs. Great. Any vegans here? Sarah. Yeah, me. Glad you asked. Smiley face. Sarah has been removed from the group. Christmas ought to be a time where we include one another, right? Christmas is a time where we want to be accepted. We want to feel like we're part of something, and we don't like rejection. None of us likes rejection. There's this show, and I want to show you a clip. There's this show on TV which I've seen a couple of times called Kitchen Nightmares with this world famous chef Gordon Ramsay, and he goes into various restaurants and places and he tastes their food, and usually he's very disparaging, and then he tries to remedy the situation. But let me show you this particular clip.
We've got some catfish goujons with hush puppy and our homemade pineapple salsa.
It's actually quite nice. Very delicate fish. And it's nicely fried. Very light. Really nice.
Thank you. Be back with your mains. Take it down break for my mother and the biggest.
God. For mains, my plate's piled high with a clumsy mess of ribs, spicy chicken jambalaya, and corn and bean succotash.
I hope he likes it.
Those ribs. So tender. I have to say, it's straight on the plate with no real care, but it tastes phenomenal. This may be the first time I actually go back to the kitchen with an empty plate. Thank you, they're delicious.
Thank you.
And you know what?
Thank you.
I thought it was going to be really spicy, but it turned down. It was spot on.
And it
actually made me feel like I was back at Mum's for the first time.
Oh.
And having some home cooking. It was very good.
Oh, don't get me crying.
There are things I would change.
Okay, fine.
And tweak,
and I'm happy.
Definitely.
I'm happy to
but
hear about that.
In general.
I got to take a picture of this plate. I know it sounds crazy.
Mama.
Mind your head. Mind your head.
Oh, God.
I fed Gordon Ramsay. And he cleaned his plate.
That's kind of thing my mum would have done, actually. But I was, you know, he came and he actually liked the food. And he said, well, yeah, there are a few things I'd change, but, you know, and I was thinking as I'm getting ready to prepare our Christmas dinner for next week, and I was thinking, and Hannah and I were joking about the children afterwards, yeah, that was good, not bad. There are a few things I'd change, but I'd change you, mate. But there's this sense of, you know, we want to be accepted. We want there to be good news, not bad news. We want it to be a time when there's rejoicing. And that's what Christmas really is meant to be. It's meant to be a time of rejoicing because it is good news. And that was the message that the angels came to bring. Let's have a look over. We're going to look at Joseph. We're going to have a look at Mary. And then we're going to have a look at Jesus. And because it's our carol service, then our points of the sermon are all based on Christmas carols. And this first Christmas carol is God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Of course, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen is one of the earliest Christmas carols in the English language. In fact, some people believe it was actually first written around the 15th, 16th century. The first published version was around 1700s. But the English language has changed a lot in the last 400 or 500 years. And so Mary came to take on the meaning of being a little bit kind of outwardly, boisterously joyful and a little bit tipsy. And it's one of the reasons why the royal family started to wish people a happy Christmas rather than a Merry Christmas back around Queen Victoria's time. But when this hymn was written, it didn't mean that. In fact, when it says God rest ye, or God rest you, merry gentlemen, it's really it's saying God keep you, gentlemen, keep you merry. Back then it meant peaceable, or in contrast to, you know, may you not be in dismay. It meant being prosperous and blessed, and some people think it meant to mean strong or mighty, but it's this whole idea of like the merry month of May. It's a pleasant month of May, but it's the whole idea of that we, God wants us to be resting in Him, peaceful in Him. Look here in this first scripture. In Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to pick up here in verse 18. He says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, for an unwed mother or an unwed woman to give birth, particularly in that time and in that era and that culture, it was considered to be a disgrace. And for Joseph to find that his fiancée now is with child, the law at the time allowed him to not just put her aside, but actually to have her stoned for adultery. But he, being a righteous man, he decided, you know, he's just going to divorce her quietly. Because even though they were only engaged, it was binding by law. And so to break the engagement required actually to go through the steps of a divorce. And he decided, okay, I'm going to do this quietly. But then in a dream, and the angel came and said, hey, this is from the Holy Spirit. And he gave him the information that he needed so that then he could change and stand up against the culture and the expectation of the times. And the Bible says, and it's just that last verse, is when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. You know, God can keep us peaceable. God can keep us happy and strong, so long as we do as He commands. We're going to have a little skit where we're going to get an idea of the kind of pressure that Joseph would have experienced just in finding out the news that Mary was pregnant. And I'm going to ask the players in the skit to go ahead and bring the stuff on stage, so we can go ahead and get that ready. And if you see any brothers you know wearing skull caps, they've not converted. It's just for the purposes of the play.
Put me down, guys. Put me down.
Lock the doors, that is.
Yep. Is that really necessary? Honestly, I have no idea. 6 months ago, I would have scoffed at the idea. But now, I'm not sure I know you at all, Joseph.
Oh, you're being ridiculous.
Is he really, though? Is he? Let's have a look at the evidence, shall we, Joseph?
Simon.
Listen, take a good man, right? Well-respected, a carpenter, a pillar of the community, a righteous man. Now, take that same man and turn him upside down overnight. Let's say that same man starts risking everything he'd ever built, throws it all out the window, and goes around claiming to be a poached egg or something like that. What would you say then, Joseph? What does the evidence say there, huh?
I don't think I ever claimed to be a poached egg, Simon.
No, but you might as well have. That's the whole point.
Help us understand, Joseph. I know you like Mary. She's a sweet kid. But she's wronged you so, so badly.
No, Mary hasn't done anything wrong.
Joseph, drop the act, all right? You're with us. You're with friends. Now, we were with you when we found out about her little situation, okay? And you said, you swore down that you'd had nothing to do with it. You didn't lay a hand on her. Are you suddenly changing your story now?
No, I'm telling the truth.
Okay, so what is it then if you didn't do it and you're saying that she did nothing wrong?
Oh, no. Was she assaulted?
Oh, I feel sick. No. No, that's not it. Look, you guys just don't understand. But I'm not turning my back on Mary.
Oh, wow. How gallant. How noble. How mind-numbingly stupid of you.
Simon, come on.
No, look, let him have a say, Thaddeus. You're not going to stop him anyway.
All right, great. We'll start your job then, shall we? You're a carpenter. You like being a carpenter?
I do.
Yeah, of course you do. You're good at it. You make a good living. It's a great job. Now tell me, where does most of your business come from?
Well, you know, it depends. Sometimes the Romans
I'm not talking about the Romans. Sure, they throw you an occasional job or a traveller comes through, but I'm talking about a good 90% of your business. Where does that come from?
The neighbourhood.
The neighbourhood, yeah! Our neighbourhood, where you're a well-respected, well-liked pillar of the community, a righteous man. Now tell me, what do you think happens when you go and marry this girl? Help him out, Thaddeus.
I think not everyone is all that open-minded. People can be pretty judgmental. I just think that business might possibly suffer.
Yeah, business might possibly suffer. That's one theory. Another theory, you'll be absolutely ruined, Joseph.
Then I'll be ruined.
But you know this sort of thing gets around. No one's going to bother to find out the truth, whatever it is. They'll assume one of two things. Either you and Mary can honour your vows and wait until the wedding, that she was unfaithful to you by being with someone else. If they assume the former, they'll conclude that you weren't the righteous man they thought you were. You might even lose your place at the synagogue. If they assume she was unfaithful to you, they'll think you a fool to be pitied, not a man to be respected.
Look, I can't control what people say and think, Thaddeus.
Of course you can't, because it's all in their heads. That's the whole point. Look, it's got to be one way or the other, all right? Women don't just spontaneously conceive children, Joseph. So tell us, what is it?
Okay. I had a dream.
Oh,
what?
Boy. You may share his name, but you're not that same Joseph.
Look, do you want to know the truth or not?
Yes, please. Tell me about the dream.
Entertain us.
Okay, look. I had a dream. An angel appeared to me and he said not to worry about taking Mary as my wife, because she hasn't been unfaithful. And then he also said that this child that Mary is carrying is from the Holy Spirit.
Do you expect us to believe this? Or?
Okay, look, there's more.
Oh, more?
According to the angel, I'm to name the baby Jesus. And also this child that Mary is carrying will grow up to be, well, the Messiah.
The Messiah?
Oh my goodness! I'm mildly impressed, Joseph. You've managed to concoct the one story crazy enough to justify this ludicrous marriage.
Look, wow. I don't expect you to believe me, Simon. I've accepted the fact that most people won't, but it's the truth.
This is incredible! Could the Messiah really be so close at hand? It's been so long.
Don't tell me you believe this garbage as well! A desperate attempt to save face and hold on to a cute bride, that's all this is.
Think about it, Simon. Could I come up with such a ridiculous story? I'm a carpenter, not a wordsmith.
Mate, carpenter, wordsmith, I don't care who you are. This isn't a joke. It's not a game, Joseph. You could lose everything, could be completely ruined, all for the sake of this girl who has no virtue and her illegitimate son.
You hold your tongue! That's my wife you're talking about, and she's done nothing wrong. You hear me? Nothing. I will not have her talked about in that manner. And as for the baby, his name is Jesus. And he has a father, and it's none other than God Almighty. And you do well to remember that.
Joseph, he didn't mean anything by it.
Let him fight, Thaddeus. You might as well get used to it. Look, for every idiot foolish enough to believe your Messiah story, there'll be 50 more laughing in your face. You can fight. You can get used to it.
I'll fight. I'll fight for Mary. I'll fight for Jesus. I'll spend my whole life fighting if I have to. Much worse things for a man to do than give his life fighting for his family.
Idiot. All we're trying to do is help him.
What if he was telling the truth, though, Simon?
Oh, yes, of course, because that's how Messiah's really come. How could you be so stupid, Thaddeus? Come on. Anyway, I wouldn't worry about it.
Why not?
It's the Messiah we're talking about. It's not like it's something we could miss. When he comes, we'll know it.
Are you sure?
As sure as I am that Mary's no longer a virgin, yes. Come on, let's go find someone else to do. Thank you.
Thank the children. Doing a great job. God rest you, merry gentlemen. Remain peaceably content, so long as we're following God's commands. Second one is away in the manger. Sorry, I put that picture up there because we had a Christmas party in the East last Friday, and this reminded me of one of the games. It was the cookie unicorn, where we had to have a teams racing. You had to balance 7 cookies on your head. And I'm not very competitive at all. And so in our team, Wally had nominated his daughter, Mario, to actually do that event. But we were so close to being in the front, I thought, no, we need someone who's going to take charge and win. So I asked her to step aside so I could take her place. And I think I came last in the whole thing. But anyway, let's move on. In Luke chapter 2, he says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no room available for them. You know, can you imagine what that must have been like? You know, the Bible is very understated in this. The last verse in this passage, in verse 7, it says, she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. You know, when a woman is anticipating having her first child, never would in her wildest dreams would she picture that event taking place in a stable. Never would she picture placing her firstborn in a feeding trough meant for an animal. And yet that's exactly what happened with Mary. I can't imagine what that must have been like, how that must have felt. We're going to have a skit on this, and it's entitled Need a Little Christmas, and just to give us a bit of an idea of how Mary and Joseph must have felt as they were faced with this situation. But bear in mind just Mary's response to it all, all right?
One, two, three, ta-da!
Joseph, it's a stable.
Mary, no. Although I see how untrained I can make that mistake, this in fact is a grand rustic suite with the finest of imported hay.
Yep.
And manservants dressed as donkeys and...
It's a stable, Joseph.
It's a stable, yeah. But the census, Mary. Everywhere is packed, and this little town of Bethlehem is about to bust.
Ooh, and so am I. But okay, Joseph, I'll play along. Now, would you help this very pregnant lady to, the master bedroom. Oh, does this place come with a turndown service?
Oh. Turndown service? Well, every inn we've been to certainly turned us down fast enough.
You know what, Joseph? Oh, it's warm, it's dry, it's actually perfect. Now, this place doesn't seem like much, but in a few moments, it will serve as the birthplace of a king. And this night doesn't feel much different than any other, but it's going to be celebrated and remembered for all time. This young Jewish woman isn't the only one waiting for the first pangs of labor. All of creation has been tensed, holding its breath since the fall in the garden, waiting for the fullness of time when her Savior would come. The fullness of time, because we serve a God whose timing is perfect. Even when it feels as if he hasn't had our prayers, as if he's hopelessly overdue, our Father is often later than we expect. But he is never late, not by a millisecond. He watches over his children, waiting to give exactly what they need, exactly when they need it. And tonight, his children need a little Christmas.
Joseph!
Right this very minute.
Very good question.
we're going to have a song at this point. It's Mary's Boy Child.
Thank you.
I think we've got some budding contestants for the X Factor. You know, that's that song, Away in the Manger, No Crib for a Bed. Can you imagine the King of Kings being born in such humble beginnings? And really, that's what Christmas reminds us of, the fact that God himself humbled himself so that we might have life. You know, the third and final point is simply joy to the world. And in Luke chapter 2, as we carry on reading in verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" Sometimes we don't always appreciate the incredible gift that we have been given. But the Bible tells us that God gave us his son, and it was good news. In fact, it was going to lead to joy for all those who would accept him. And we're going to have a little skit right now, just to give us a sense of appreciation for the gifts that we receive.
We got spiritual gifts again this year. I knew we would. I had no doubt. I knew it would happen without even seeing it first.
Well, duh, that's because you got faith last year.
What time is it?
Just 5:30 on the dot.
Oh, I think I should sleep this year. Oh, that's so nice.
Wow, look at all these gifts. We must have been really good this year.
Amy, I told you, all of you, it's not how good you are. These are gifts, you don't earn them.
Well then, what was I good all year for?
You weren't that good.
Your mother's right. Spiritual gifts are for all believers. That reminds me of
the
story.
No,
no. Okay,
Dad's getting his creative communication on again.
I hope he doesn't give us a slideshow like last time.
Yeah.
Well, fine. I was just going to say, these gifts are for building up the whole church. There's no one gift that every believer has, and no one gift has more value than any other.
Except for mine, way better than yours.
Cut it out!
That will
give do. Dad, do animals get spiritual gifts too?
Animals?
Yeah, like dogs.
I don't know. Why do you ask?
Because if Rex had one, it would be healing. Get it? Healing?
Yeah, Rex, heal.
Actually, that reminds me of a story.
That's okay.
That's okay.
So, are we going to open these, or what?
You bet. I'll go first.
Why do you get to go first?
Because I'm the oldest, and you're not. Life's hard. Wear a helmet.
Mom!
Ah. Oh, sweet! Knowledge! This'll come in handy.
You know that's knowledge about God stuff. You can't use that to pass your physics exam.
Ha 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 ha! Mom! James is looking at me with impure motives and evil intent!
Amy, stop discerning your brother.
I might have known that gift was going to bring trouble. That reminds me of a story.
Oh, lovely, huh? Right, David. So, what gift did you get?
Cool. Giving. No fair.
What's the matter?
I wanted craftsmanship.
Why?
To build stuff. Or, you know, make stuff.
Oh, or to sew a pretty little dress for yourself. Okay. No, come on!
Off.
I'd so get a mercy gift next year! Ah!
Amy, darling,
darling,
let's just
see.
What gift did you get? Why don't you have a look?
Okay.
Sweetie, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's tongues, darling.
Oh, let me see that tongue. Might have guessed. Interpretation not included.
Oh, that's okay. What do you get, Mum?
Let's see.
Dad, why don't you open your gift?
Actually, James, why don't you open yours? There might be something special since you're 18 this year.
Oh, really? What? Oh, awesome missions! Road trip!
Oh, dude, you better practice your Spanish if you're going to Barcelona.
¿Dónde está el baño?
Me tocas discos, esco discompuesto.
Your what is broken?
Me tocas discos.
What's that?
My record player.
What's a record player?
Guys, you're killing me. Actually, let's see what old dad got for Christmas this year, shall we? Oh, yes. Just what I knew I needed. Administration. Okay, James, you in the shower first. And don't spend too much time messing with your hair.
That.
David, you help your sister get ready. And then you in the shower next. And brush your teeth this time. Sweetie. If you could get breakfast on the table in precisely 32 minutes, that means we could be out of the house by 7:15 on the way to Manchester, leaving just about time for one potty stop. No water bottles in the car for you this time, sweetie. Okay, people to see, places to go. Let's move it. Let's go. Come on.
You know, we may not always appreciate the particular gifts we receive at Christmas time, but the greatest gift that any of us have been given is the gift of God's Son. And the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his Son so that those who believe in him will not perish. And, you know, as we come to that part of the service where we take the communion together, I want us to stop and reflect and remember the incredible gift that God has given to us. It's a gift that ultimately will bring joy to the world, but only if we are willing to accept Jesus for who he was, the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior. Before we go ahead and pass out the bread and the wine, I just want to show you one video clip just to help us to get just the right frame of mind, just to appreciate the sacrifice that has been made on our behalf. This clip is set to some music, and I just want to read some of the words to this song. It says, "It's the power of love, a force from above, cleaning my soul. Love is the light, scaring darkness away. Make love your goal." You know, it's this whole idea of that God has gone through so much to demonstrate his love for us so that we have the chance to have our sins washed away. Let me go ahead and show this clip now. Pray before the ushers pass out the bread and wine. Father, thank you so much that you've given us so much. Father, that you sent Jesus to die for us. Help us, God, as we take the bread, which represents Jesus' broken body, and we drink the wine, which reminds us of his shed blood. Help us, Father, to remember the reason for this time of year, God, that Jesus came to earth to ultimately become a living sacrifice on our behalf. I pray, God, that we'll appreciate that. And I pray, Father, that it can inform and impact the way we live our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Has come to make you new. This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels tread? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God.
Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Well, I want to thank all those who took part in that performance or performances. Thank you very much, all those. I don't know who they are, but certainly Yolanda and all the Kingdom Kids people. Respect. Thank you, Mike, as well for the lesson. The great thing about these kind of skits is that we can see a bit of ourselves in them. Amen? You can think, wow, I'm a bit like that. And you think, wow. And it's great to be reminded of so many things, and as Mike shared in his points, I think it would be great for us to just have a great Christmas, but of course, the goal is to do it in the way that God would be pleased, and really I pray that each and every one of us will do that, honor God, and just rejoice in the incredible time of year as we give thanks for the birth of his son, and how that is meant to cause us to change and to be grateful and appreciative. So let's really give our very best over this time. Just a reminder that there will be no meeting here this Friday. The next time we'll be together, for those of us who will be in London, we'll be in on next Sunday, 10:30 a.m. start, so half an hour earlier than normal. We'll be up in Chigwell. So you've all got the details for that, and that'll be 10:30 next week. So let's all stand as we sing our final song.
Thanks, Andy. We'll be singing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Sing, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their song employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings grow, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes a name
Let's enjoy a great time of fellowship, and there's mince pies afterwards.